William Carey is called the father of modern missions. He began his missionary career in 1793, serving the Lord in India for 40 years, never once returning home to England. He translated portions of the Bible into a dozen Indian languages. But one afternoon, after 20 years of hard labour, a fire raged throughout his printing plant and warehouse. All his printing equipment, all his work, all his manuscripts, totally destroyed. 20 years of work, gone. Of course, there's no computer backup copies, nothing on his thumb drives. He lost everything. Many people devastated at the loss, and they're thinking, what would William Carey do about this? Surely this would break him. But he wrote this letter to his friend, Andrew Murray, pastor friend Andrew Murray in England, saying the following words: "The ground must be laboured over again, but we're not discouraged. We have all been supported under the affliction and preserved from discouragement. To me, the consideration of the divine sovereignty and wisdom has been very supporting." Then he quoted from Psalm 46:10, when the Lord himself says, "Be still and know that I am God." He found his peace. He found his strength in God. Now, how would I react in that situation? 20 years of hard work of translating God's word into Indian languages, gone in an instant. How do we deal with problems in life? Where do I turn to for strength? Where do I turn to in times of trouble? Psalm 46 is a wonderful song, wonderful psalm, written to a group of believers, but its principles are timeless to every generation. Believers read this and find refuge and strength in God. Even the world falls apart. Even if the world continues to go the way it is, we as believers always find our strength and our refuge in God. And we who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ have that intimate relationship with the Father restored. And we can come to our Father, our Heavenly Father, any time of the day, any day of the week. Where do you find your strength? Do we find it in other people? Do we find it in trying to do actions or different plans in life? Do we find it in self-help books? You find all bookshops. Or do we find our strength in God himself? Let's pray. Almighty God, all-powerful God, what a privilege it is to be in his building as the church tonight. What an honor it is to open your word, the precious pages of your word, revealed to us more about who you are, more about your character, more about your sovereignty, more about your plan. Oh, may we take notice. May our hearts and minds be away from all distractions as we focus on the truth tonight. May we leave this building tonight as changed people, desiring to draw our strength, this spiritual strength from you, as we read your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we looked at started a series called Remembering Our Great God. And we looked at the shepherding God in Psalm 23. And we saw how he's a God who provides, he's a God who protects, and a God whom we praise. And we can say as Christians, yes, I believe that. But every day-to-day life, when we're struggling or we're tired, how do I get the strength or the encouragement to follow my shepherd? Where do I get the strength and the courage to follow my shepherd? Psalm 46 gives us some wonderful principles about our God. If we can fully grasp understanding of these principles from His Word, we can learn to draw that spiritual strength from God each day, realize that He's my refuge and my shelter, but He's also my very strength. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 46 as I read verses 1 through to 11. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46, titled "The Chief Musician," a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. By its description, there's sort of three possible meanings. It was written for the sons of Korah. It was written for them to sing it, or they wrote it themselves. They were Levitical singers, and they would sing these psalms. A song for Alamoth means young women, or young virgins, and it could indicate a female choir. But we're not sure. But this was a song they sung in triumph, as God is their refuge and strength. We're not 100% sure the background of this psalm, historical setting, but most likely it refers to a time in 701 BC. God's people in Jerusalem and Assyria have surrounded the city of Jerusalem. There's no way in, no way out. King Hezekiah is in the city. The people look out and see the enemy, thinking there's no way out. We're in a tight bound here. Is there any hope? Can we escape this? And the psalmist writes this song, reminding us that they've got to find strength and refuge in God Himself. Tonight we'll see some similarities from this morning's message as we look at God. The three areas tonight is this. Firstly, the protection of God. Secondly, the presence of God. And thirdly, the power of God. Firstly, the protection of God. The psalm starts with confidence. God is our refuge and strength. Refuge means shelter. Protection in a storm or in a war. Our shelter from danger, even falsehood. God is our refuge. God is the one who can provide protection. He is the one we place our trust in every day. Psalm 7 verse 1 says, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. The word refuge used in verse 7 and verse 11 talks about a stronghold. It talks about a high tower, a fortress. Emphasizes when everything falls apart, God is our shelter. God is our refuge. God is our stronghold. It reminds you of the city of refuge in the Old Testament. There were six cities. And the law was this. If someone committed a murder, The law allowed someone to avenge the murder from the family. But the murder was by accident, not intentional. The one who committed the murder can run to a city of refuge. And in this city of refuge, they had total protection. They were sheltered until the trial happened. They'll go to trial, and if the judge or the court decides the murder was by accident or unintentional, they could stay in a city of refuge fully protected. No one could avenge the death. No one could touch them. They're totally safe in a city of refuge until the high priest dies. If they leave before the high priest dies, then you could avenge the death. After the high priest dies, no one could touch them. They can go back home in safety. But in that city, they were safe. And in God's hand, we who belong to Him are safe. He's our shelter. He's our refuge. He's our stronghold. He's our strength, it says in verse 1 there. God enables us, gives us the source of strength, even everything around us is crumbling. When families fall apart, God is still our strength. When you have trouble in the workforce, God's still your strength. Trouble at school, God's still your strength. He says, I'm the very strength, the source of strength you need, even everything else is falling apart. He protects us. In verse 1 reminds us, the very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Here's God's people in Jerusalem, outside of the enemies, the most vicious enemies in the history of mankind. And the psalmist says, don't worry, God is our very present help in times of trouble. A very present help. Abundantly He will give us help in times of trouble. Alan Ross, a commentator, says this, God is a help is much more forceful than saying that God helps people. It indicates that He so abundantly helps people that He is what help is all about. The word trouble means confinement, a tight bind, difficult, life-threatening situations. There's no way out, no room to move. It refers to inner turmoil, It refers to natural disasters, armies, wars, whatever it might be. He says, I am your very present help. Living in this broken world, we need that very present help. And He says, I'm there with you now. It's not a God who says, I made the world, good luck, hope you make it. It's not a God who says, I know you're struggling, I'm here, but only call if you need me. He's a very present help in trouble every step of the way. And we have that hope. We have that trust. Whatever we face. A few weeks ago at Emmanuel, we had our carols by candlelight outside where we invite the community to come to sing carols. But this year we were asked if we could have some refugees who just arrived from Syria to join for the carols. None could speak English at all. And they come, we brought buses of them, about 40 or 50 turned up, women, children and adults and dads. And they arrive, and look at them, they've been living in a tent for the last year in the border of Turkey. They come with nothing. All they have is the clothes that they wore, some food vouchers the government gave them. They're all staying at the moment in Bevista area at the moment together for their fine housing. I looked at their faces, and I thought to myself, where do they find strength? Where do they find refuge? Where do they find hope? I don't know what they believe, did not believe. I couldn't understand their language. But when we offered them a sausage on a roll, something simple as that, the smile on their face was huge. And instead of lining up one by one, they come as a whole group, straight to the table, asking for the food. and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We have glow sticks and the kids are coming and saying, one, two, three, give me glow sticks. This small gesture gave them great encouragement. But where's their hope? Where's their strength in everyday life? There were some tough people there, what they went through. But do they know God as their refuge? God as their hope? God as their strength? We as believers here tonight have that wonderful truth. Whatever I face, He's my very present help in times of trouble. To the point, verse 2 and 3 says to us, we no need to fear. There's no need to fear. Look at verse 2. Therefore, of course, is our refuge and strength, our help in trouble. We will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. The sovereign, almighty God, the refuge and strength. The word fear means terrified, greatly afraid. We can face anything in this world because we have a sovereign God who we can trust. Even the worst thing happens, like the earth is removed or changed, or the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, huge solemn mountains being shaken and moved to the midst of the sea. Even though the waters roar and cause trouble, and the mountains shake with the swelling of the water, even the worst thing happens in the world, we who have God have the strength and the stronghold. And here's God's people outside, Assyrians are waiting. If you read the history of the Assyrians, they were very vicious people. They were known as masters of brutality. You read stories how they'll cut people up and carry parts of the body to different cities saying, look what we've done. You read stories that put people on stakes or poles and skin their backs. Stories of how they put them in places where there's ash and they lock the room and they wait till the person gets tired and at exhaustion the person collapses into this floor, breathing his ash and slowly suffocates. The king of Assyria determined the punishment. They were so vicious and so scary. No wonder Jonah, as told to go to Nineveh, went the opposite direction. And here they are waiting outside. Who knows, they might have called out threats. They might say, come out, we want to destroy you. We don't know what they said. But Psalmist sings his song. Even if it all goes wrong, even if it gets moved, the mountains moved, we have God as our strength. We have God as our refuge. See, God promised them before this in Isaiah 37, these words. God said this, therefore says the Lord God concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with his shield, nor build a siege mailed against it. God says they will not get in. So the psalmist could have confidence saying, we know that with God, he will protect us every step of the way. That's where I draw my strength from. Every day I face this world, wherever I face, I know that there's a sovereign God who no one or nothing can get to destroy. No one is stronger than God. No one is bigger than God. No nation, how powerful they might seem to be, can defeat God. And here I am as a Christian who's a sinner, who's condemned, now saved in the hands of God. He says, I am your shelter, I am your strength. Whatever happens around, don't worry, I'm a very present help in times of trouble. He says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? How do I follow my shepherd? I trust him, follow him. No matter what's happening outside, I'm in his hands. Secondly, with the presence of God, then in verse 4 to verse 7. Verse 4 reminds us he provides. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In the ancient world, it's crucial when you build a city to build it near a river or a stream for water supply. It was crucial. Jerusalem was built in the hills, not near any major rivers. And the Assyrians are very smart in warfare, very patient people. They would camp outside Jerusalem when they're trying to besiege. And they just wait. Once the water supply runs out, the people become weak. And they can attack very easily. So they're waiting, thinking, those people inside Jerusalem have no water. And when the water runs out completely, we'll just walk in and destroy them. The psalmist says, there's a river whose stream shall make glad or give joy to the city of God. King Hezekiah built an underground water system that connected to the spring in Kidron. And the water would come from that into the pool, into the city. And there's always running water into the city. Syrians knew nothing about this. And as the people in the city go there, they can find great joy and rejoice as they look at the living water, the source of life, God's provision for his people. It makes the people glad. Gives them great joy. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, referring to the very fact that God was with them every step of the way. It's God's city, Jerusalem. He's dwelling with them. Now look at this water, reminding that it's God who gives them life. Reminds you of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the last day of the great feast. He cries out in John 7 these words, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He cries out to the multitudes. The key is this though, if anyone thirsts. They have to thirst first. Water, living water. The source of life. And Jesus saying, do you want eternal life? Do you want this living water, eternal living water, eternal life? He says, come to me who's first. I'll give you this living water. But those in the city say, we're glad because God's provided us this water. What a wonderful encouragement to us. Who've had this living water, who taste this living water. The result must be for us who have this living water, joy, gladness, as the people in the city have here. He also protects in verse 5 to verse 7. God is in the midst of her, or amongst her, to make Jerusalem. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See, the security of Jerusalem was not the walls. It was not the water they could drink. It's the fact that God dwelt with them. God was in the midst of them. And God declares that Jerusalem, his city, will not be moved, will not be destroyed, will not be shaken. He says, I will help her just at the break of dawn. Dawn associated with sunrise. A new day. You go from the darkness of night and you wake up in the morning to beautiful light. Beautiful sunrise. Outside they face darkness and danger, the Assyrians. And God declared, I will help you just at the break of dawn. The light. This powerful nation who threatens God's people, and God says, no, they will not destroy you. Yes, he says, you know, the nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He said, but I'll utter my voice. and the earth melted or dissolved or destroyed just by his words. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven and of earth. God says, I will declare, I will help you. I'm your strength in this time of trouble. One commentator puts it this way. The setting is Jerusalem. The armies that God has at his disposal are the heavenly angels and all earthly forces. He is with us, the God of Jacob. The covenant-keeping God is our refuge, our stronghold. He is our strength. God declared, you are safe. And we as Christians in his broken world are safe in the hands of God. Even the nations rage. Even the kingdoms try to take over other kingdoms, or today countries over different countries. Even the world falls apart, think they have power, God will utter his voice and they will melt like that. Dissolve like that. But what's that mean for me as a Christian? I need to tell people about living water. I need to tell people that look at the world around you, look at the power struggles, look at the terrorist attacks, look at the world falling apart. The world has no hope and no future. But you can have living water. When's the last time you told someone about salvation? About this God who offers his living water? But also we see thirdly the power of God. In verse 8 to verse 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease at the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. We see the victory in those verses, verse 8 and verse 9. He yells out, come. Someone says, come. Come and look. Depart from where you are and look. Behold, look what God has done. What were the works talked about here? Isaiah 37:36 tells us the works. It says this. The angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And people arose early in the morning. They were corpse or dead. Imagine that. God promises he will help at just the break of dawn. They get up the next morning, they go out there, and the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, has come, and 185,000 enemy just dead. He says, come, see the works of the Lord. Come and see what he has done. Come and see his power. Come and see his victory. They thought they were powerful. They thought they'd destroy us. They thought that we're weak. But we have this God who's all-powerful and almighty and all-victorious. Come and see the works of the Lord. How that must encourage King Hezekiah. A good king Hezekiah was. How it must encourage him to remind his people of what's going ahead. Who, it says here in verse 8, who has made desolations or horrors on this earth. It talks about future events. He will make wars cease at the end of the earth. He will break the bows and he will cut the spear in two. He will burn the chariots in the fire. What you see here is a foretaste of what God will do in the future. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? Do we ever think to ourselves to look at the works of the Lord in our life? What if my strength is to sit back and look what God's done to me? A God who says, you once were condemned, now you stand justified. A God who says, once you pay for the penalty of your sin, but now you're totally forgiven. Sin's past, present, and future. A God who says, you were once my enemy, separated from me, now one of my adopted children. They are his works, not my works. Come, behold, see the works of the Lord. We see all through Scripture wars between nations. We see through Scripture disobedience of people. Whereas Eve taking that fruit, or Cain killing Abel. Chapter 6 of Genesis, and God says, I'm sorry I made this world. The one righteous man being Noah. For all this, God's creation is falling apart. God's creation is in disobedience. But those who come to him, is behold my works. And look what I can do. And the earth, the world today, should be in fear. But in reality, they don't care. In reality, they don't believe. But one day they will believe when he comes and destroys. Love 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our strength. He is our victory. And lastly, his exhortation, verse 10 and verse 11 are wonderful verses. The psalmist sings or writes, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This term, be still, means take your hands off. It means relax, in a sense. And what God, what I'm saying here is, we as hands-on people want to deal with problems our own way. I want things to go a certain way, and God wants you to somehow fit into my picture here. And God says, no, step back and trust me. Watch what I can do. And you will know that I am God. You will know that I'm the powerful one. You know I'm the mighty one. You know I'm the sovereign one, the conquering one. Just stop. Watch. Wait. Trust. And you will know by experience that I am the true God. Again, he talks about what will happen in the future. He says, I will, no doubt, I will be exalted among all the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Everyone will know that I am God. Whether they face the punishment or us who face glory. It reminds you of a talk about Jesus in Philippians 2, verse 10 to 11, where the writer Paul writes, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess, as every tongue shall confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, the Father. And he says again, the God of Jacob, the covenant-keeping God, is our stronghold, is our strength, is our refuge. What a psalm to have us thinking about 2017. This year, where will you find your strength? Where will you find place of protection and shelter? It has to be God. And you might have family, you might have friends, you might have work colleagues who ridicule you for believing in God. Or say that what you believe is wrong. But you've got the confidence here. He says, I'll be with you in the present help in trouble. Even if everything else falls apart, I'm with you every step of the way. I'll give you living water that brings you joy and contentment in life. I will help you at the break of dawn. Come, he says, see my works, see what I can do as God. And be still as you see my works, and by experience you'll see that I am God. But one day, he says, I'll be exalted among the nations and in the earth. He says, until then, I am your refuge, your stronghold and strength. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. How? Who strengthens me. How do I find the strength? It's my daily devotions each day. Reading his word, being in prayer, willing to be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit convicts me to do. Saying no to sin. Temptation is strong and powerful, but saying no to sin. sharing the gospel to those I meet every day, putting Him as my first love in my life, even above my family, giving my whole life to the shepherd, giving my whole life to the God of the heavens and earth, and say, I'm all yours, take me, use me, and please allow me to glorify you. Everything that I do. And I will know that you are God. Let's pray. Almighty God, where would we be without you? I look at your creation of this world as I watch the news each night, in the newspaper each day, and we see horrors. A world that says we don't want to believe in a God. A world that says we don't want anything to do with God. And here we are as Christians, and at times we struggle to carry on. We struggle to keep moving forward. We struggle with simple things like our devotions. We struggle loving others. But you're our source of strength. You're our refuge. You're our shelter. You're our stronghold. And even everything or everyone around us falls apart, you're our rock. You're our foundation. And you'll never let us down. Never leave us. Never forsake us. Never abandon us. Because we're part of your family. May we tell people about the living water. Living water that leads to eternity. That makes us glad. That gives us joy and contentment. May we stop and become and behold the works of the Lord. When someone is saved, that's a miracle that only you can do. Someone is changed, it's a miracle that you can do. Someone is healed, it's a miracle you can do. Sometimes we forget to look. May we stop, see your works, and be still, and know that you are God. And what a day that will be, when you will be exalted among the nations. You will be exalted in the earth. And the world will know there is a God. But we who belong to you will rejoice and praise you every day until that happens. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.